Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
It's not always easy to see what is coming at you, or better yet, for you. You need someone in your corner who can help you navigate those blind spots. Life Coach Today has a unique ability to guide you toward clarity with compassionate coaching and an amazing sense of humor. As a coach for over 15 years, Life Coach Today has been working closely with people and freeing them to live their best life. If you are in a spot where your best friend's advice or family member's tips are not working for you, you want to step onto the playing field of life with a coach who will walk with you and support you in tapping into the best in you. When you are done with Life Coach Today, you will be the change you want to see. We'll give you practical tools to finally embrace all of you and empower you to step into your greater yet to be. For a 45 minutes complimentary session, email Life Coach Today at ask@lifecoachtoday.com. That's ask@lifecoachtoday.com or call 678-561-0607. That's 678-561-0607. Be still, listen, and be transformed.
Hi, I'm Mark Husson. When I created 1-2-listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 1-2-listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Husson, and 1-2-listen.com and the 1-2 family are my purpose. Give us a try, and if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, I am peace, I am here, I am strong, I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God, I am you, I am healed, I am love, I am great, I am wonderful, I am whole, and I am free.
I feel so alone, a ship that's lost at sea. When he walked out on me, I didn't have a plan B. Where do I go to now? How could I let this be? No one here to love, and no one to love me. This hollow aching in my soul, how
Within yourself, within your lineage, and be available for what wants to be seen, to become even more aware, looking at your relationship and say, what is this about? Maybe it's not just about you. Maybe it's deeper than that. You get to choose. Sherry Marie, Revival of a Love Story. Her website address is sherrymarie.com. CHERIMARWE.com. Reminding us that we are the revival. We are the one here to revive the love story. And how do we revive the love story? We start excavating. We start going within. We start asking deeper questions. And when things go happen in our lives and we feel challenged or struggle with it, rather than blame or judge or criticize, we allow ourselves to recognize that, yeah, something is showing up here. I don't know what it is, but something is showing up here. But I'm willing to see. Trust me. I am willing to see. I don't know what the heck is going on, but I am willing to see. Yes, yes, yes. I am the revival of a love story. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. A difference is made because we inspire change within you. When you inspire the best in you, We inspire you to see the best in you, the best as you. So areas of your life where things are challenging, you can be a little bit gentle. You can say, you know what? I'm not the first one to go through this. I'm sure there's an answer to this. I'm sure I can be helped. There's always an answer to whatever you're moving through, even if you're in that space of flux where you just kind of know. Actually, for me, it's like that place of in between. I was hanging out in frustration yesterday. Oh, my God. I was just full of frustration and full of myself, and I was just letting it rip. Well, to some extent. And now I'm in between. So I'm kind of like, what is it all about? But anyway, what it's about right now is Ancestral Blueprint with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Welcome. Thank you all for being here. We welcome you to this house of love, this house of transformation. And we trust that all is truly well with you. Those of you listening on the phone line, thank you for tuning in. Those of you listening online and on the archive and wherever you are listening from, thank you for tuning in to yourself first and then tuning in to Life Conversations Radio. And we're here to support you on your journey. Are you ready to grow? Are you ready to evolve? Are you ready to expand? Well, since you're listening, I take it the answer is yes. I'm multitasking here and moving through all kinds of stuff. Oh, man, I'm just a unique kind of guy. They don't make them like they used to anymore. Oh, Lord, let me behave myself. No, I'm going to put a smile on my face because I can. I am the revival of a love story. So if we're going to have a conversation, if we're going to have this conversation, it's got to be fun somehow. My co-producer, co-host is in the house, Lisa Iverson, and she's ready to go. I just need to tell you a little something about what we are up to here on Live Conversations Radio so we can jump in and whatever else we need to do. I don't know. So Ancestral Blueprints, as you know, is every last Wednesday of the month. So that's why you're here. Or if you didn't know, you know now. And Lisa's here. But I'm going to tell you about the upcoming shows on Life Conversations Radio Network. Tomorrow, we are asking you and inviting you. Well, we're asking you first. Have you played with yourself today? Have you passionately loved and appreciated you? P-L-A-Y. Have you passionately loved and appreciated you today? It's all about you, you know. It's all about you. And you can join Ambassador for the Play Experience with Ambassador Safira. That's tomorrow, which is Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. And her theme right now is family. And my co-host, she's busy this week. She's doing Good Morning, Good Morning World, Life Conversations Radio, Ancestral Blueprints. And then she's doing the Play Experience with Ambassador. So Lisa's getting around. Lisa's going to join an Ambassador tomorrow. So I know that's going to be a great conversation because different people involved can activate a different kind of energy. So make sure you tune in to hear Ambassador Safira and Lisa Iverson tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern. If you miss it or can't make it, the shows are all the shows are archived. And so make sure you're there. Make sure you tune in. You get to hang around in a playground. On Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, we have The Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan. She don't know why I'm doing that. You just have to listen to the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show. Celestial Show with Celeste Morgan, 8 p.m. Eastern, and where she uses all kinds of stuff, cards, music, and a bird, medicine cards, anything that she sees. She brings messages. That's how Celeste rolls. She's the spirit woman. So make sure you join her on Sunday as we join together right now. Just send her lots of love. Send her so much love that Celeste feels lifted up that she's just like, oh, my God, I'm levitating. That's right. So join her. And what else do I need to tell you? I need to tell you that the Ask Life Coach Ade radio show is syndicated on Within Radio every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern. And for more information about Within Radio, you can go to inspirebroadcasting.com, inspirebroadcasting.com. Now, next week, this month, as you know, if you don't, you do, you will in a minute. The theme has been multiplying the consciousness of truth. And for the Ask Life Coach at a radio show. Next month, the theme is opening up to more love. Now, it sounds good, but you got to be careful what you're asking for, because when you open up to more love, some stuff will come up. Some things will rise up. Now, you got to be willing to love all the stuff, all the funk, when you open up to more love. When you break open to the truth of who you are. That's the theme for next month, June. And Monday, I'm flying solo. And then I have Tuesday, I have Dr. Alex Lloyd. We are, what are we doing again? Oh, we are talking about the healing codes. That's right. The codes that will heal you. So find out more, tune in. I think that's all for now. This is usually not what I do. This is for Celeste when she's here. Yeah, well, I'm done. It's time. Let's get ready. Today's show is an hour and 30 minutes, so we ain't got time to be playing around. Actually, we do have time to play around, because that's what life is about, even with the heaviness and all that's going on. So let's see. I think I've done everything I need to do. If you want to share your thoughts about today's topic, today's theme, which is marriage, relationship, and love. We want to talk about ancestral blueprints. What's your ancestral blueprints look like in this area of marriage, relationship, and love? And even if you say, well, I don't have anybody. Well, guess what? You're always in some kind of relationship. Let's bring on Lisa. How are you doing, Lisa Iverson?
I'm doing very well. It's good to be with you and good to be with everybody we're with. Whether that's live or people listening to us after our conversation. So I just feel grateful and present and looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, I'm grateful that you're here to be with me, because it's true, right? You know, because I don't know what's going on today. But, you know, I got to really work with myself about that. When, you know, when I'm feeling all flowing with life, I'm like, oh, this is how I'm feeling. But when I'm having one of these moments where I don't know what's going on, what's going on? Why do I feel this? Why can't I just feel what I feel? I don't know. Maybe it will make sense after we start talking. But anyway, you ready, Lisa, to go deep?
I'm ready for the conversation. I'm ready for the conversation. Yeah, and I trust.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I trust that, you know, leap of faith and risk to just in that place that you're at, you know, of, well, you know, I'm feeling a certain way. I don't know why I am, but that it's just okay, you know. Mm. We don't always have to know why it is that we're feeling the way we're doing. It just is, you know.
Yeah,
and, that there's a connection somehow between that experience that's with you and the topic. I don't know what it is, but I trust it.
Yes, I do. Underneath all of what I'm feeling, I trust it. You know, my the Ask Life Coach at a radio show, I'm always talking about, you know, making room for what we're feeling, and sometimes it's not always easy, and I do get that. So even when I am encouraging people to be there, I am in touch with the fact that there are times I'm moving through the heavy space and I just want to just do it privately. But there's something about being able to express it, you know, being able to share that with others, and I believe in community. And so I trust the process, and I just ask that you listeners be gentle with me. Now, I'm a bit vulnerable today. Lisa, so how have you been? It's been a little while. What's been going on? How's life treating you, or how are you treating life?
It's a very full time, as I know it is for so many people. Yeah, it feels like a very full time. And, yeah, without going into all the details of what the fullness is for me, I just am grateful to be able to know that I'm not the only one that it has that fullness going on. You know, the bigger picture of family life and work life and everything in between life. And so we really are truly all in it together. Sometimes it's easy in day-to-day living to feel like somebody's maybe kind of all by themselves going through what they're going through. But I think one of the blessings of conversations like this and programs like this and the other ones that you steward, Ade, is that it helps people realize that they're not the only ones walk on the paths that they're walking. So yeah. I just have a mindful, just, you know, as we come together today for this conversation, I just have a real embodied reminder of this. Mm-hmm. So it has been 2 months since we've been together for this show. So I missed doing it last month, and I'm grateful to be here for this time together.
Yeah. I think what I want to do for our listeners, especially those who are listening in the archive, may not get an opportunity to look at the description for the show. So I'm just going to read that now. And those who did read the description said, oh, Life Conversations Radio has a show. I'm listening. I don't care what it is. So the description of today's show, the topic title is Ancestral Blueprints, Marriage, Relationship, and Love. And marriage, partnership, love lives are deeply affected by our ancestors. How we see and are seen by our partners has everything to do with the love lives and family experiences in our ancestral blueprints. You know, I read that, and the first thing that I even hear myself, what you talking about, Willis? You know? What? My ancestors ain't got nothing to do with this. It's her. It's him. Leave my ancestors out of it. What you talking about, Lisa?
Well,
I want to take responsibility. I am not going to blame my ancestors for my mess. Oh, gosh. Ooh-wee. Okay.
Yeah, that's what that said, didn't it? Yeah.
You trying to tell me that how I'm seen and how I see my partner has something to do with my ancestors? They're not even here. They're dead. They're not even alive. I need some help. Ancestral Blueprint co-host Lisa Iverson, author of Ancestral Blueprints. Help me out. Help a brother out here.
I guess we got a little time to unpack it, don't we? Yeah, well, you know, the natural place to start with the conversation is with what I would say is the up-close images of family life. So us and our parents. So before we get into the bigger picture of those ancestral blueprints, getting into, you know, grandparent, great-grandparent, you know, farther away images, the deal is that our experiences as a son or as a daughter has a really, really, really big influence on our love lives. So, you know, we can kind of try this on in a really simple way by having the image that, you know, if you think of a partner, if you've got one, you could think of them. Or if you don't have one, but you have had one, most people probably listening to this show, if they're not in partnership, they probably have been at one time or another. So they could think of a previous partner, and they could just think of that person, and then do a little bit of an inner check, have a little inner conversation with your soul about, when I'm looking at the person in front of me, whose eyes am I looking through? Am I looking through my mother's eyes? Am I looking through my father's eyes? Am I looking at this person the way my mom would be inclined to look at my dad, or the way my mom would be inclined to look at the men in her life, or the loves of her lives.
Right.
Am I, you know, you get a little bit of a feel for it. Am I looking at this person in front of me through the eyes of my father and how he would look at my mother, or how he would look at the women in his life, or how he would look at the loves in his life? So the picture gets bigger.
It gets bigger and deeper, because I'm sitting with it and I'm thinking, you know, it's so much as you're talking about, I'm thinking, and I think we may have had this conversation a long time ago, but it's such a profound way of looking at relationship and looking at self that we don't, I think it brings a deeper awareness. I'm listening to you and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm thinking of the things that my mother said, or how she thinks, how she lives, my dad. And if we just, like you said, just stop there first before we even go to grandparents. Let's just stop there.
Yeah.
It had me question, you know, when we say we love somebody or, oh, we're attracted to somebody, is that thought, that feeling being triggered by us, or what we learned from our parents? You know? Or maybe it's a mixture of all of it, of what we think we want mixed with that. And that has a whole new way of looking at relationship. But anyway, keep going. I was riding with you. I'm like, oh my God, yes, so much. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. It is. It's good to go slowly. So a little bit is a lot in these conversations. So
yeah,
a little bit of words, a little bit of something is, it's good to not rush over it. You know, we could just be with this one piece for the rest of our conversation, unpacking it. and barely has scratched the surface.
Yes,
so
yes.
It is good. I'm glad you jumped in, because it's it is a conversation. It's a lot better than just listening to me. It's good to go back and forth about it, but it's also it is so true, and it is so human. So to remember, too, like in this process, like some people's parents, they never, you know, they were, a lot of people, they weren't raised by both parents. They were raised by maybe their mother, sometimes their father, you know, maybe the mom and the dad, they weren't married, you know, they were together for a little bit of time. And
sometimes
then life came through.
You know?
Yeah. That's
yeah.
Right. But the image in the soul, the imprint in the soul, is still there about how, you know, it's in our DNA, how our mothers and our fathers looked at each other. And when I say look, I don't even mean just, of course, just with the eyes. I mean with their hearts,
right,
with their soul, you know. How did they regard one another?
Mm.
So, and it's good to let it be broader, you know, toward all women or toward all men, you know. It's those imprints are in us. So the noticing, one of the many noticings, is that we're just not as free as we think that we are. We're not as independent. We're not as individual in our love lives, as our Western culture especially would like to think that we are. Our Western culture just so extremely focuses on the individual about everything that it's, you know, that's part of what we work with in this conversation each month, is just really reclaiming the collective wisdom that's always there, and the collective memory, collective connection with family and with life that's always there, but it's in contrast to what the Western culture, especially American culture,
yeah,
teaches.
I'm learning that more and more nowadays. I mean, the more I take time to ask my father some questions, get a better understanding of my own ancestral blueprints. And I'm really seeing that, yes, I mean, I left a culture that is known to honor its ancestral tradition, and then grew up in England and then came over here and learned, you know, got on a spiritual path to know who I am. And then, you know, I start to dig and get really, you know, I'm getting somewhere. But then now I find that I'm having to go back and reclaim the history, reclaim the culture, the tradition that I wasn't even exposed to. But just because I grew up in Nigeria, it was there. But with my parents, we didn't really talk about our ancestors, even though people think that I'm from Nigeria. Oh yeah, you know, you can tell your story. No, I know very little about my father's father, and he knows very little. So, but you know, when you were talking about how we look at our partners, or if you're not in a relationship and how you did look, is what came to mind was, which is interesting, I don't hear guys say this. I don't hear guys saying, I don't know why I'm always attracted to females who do so-and-so. Well, I haven't heard it, but I usually hear females say, I don't know why I always attract men who are like this, or who treat me like this, or do that. And that's what came up for me when you were talking. It's like, if we look, and actually this is more of a question, I think. Well, yeah, let me put in a question, because I'm really just riding with you on this one. If we look at people that we've been in a relationship with, and people we're in a relationship with now, people we're married to, isn't it possible to start to see the common theme, the thread, or the image that we are in partnership with?
The common image, like, you mean what we have in, what's in common with our ancestries? Is that what you mean?
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, when you said earlier, when you said about when we're in a relationship, whose eyes are we looking with? And, you know, what our mother thought, thinks, feel about relationship, what our father thought, thinks, feel about relationship. And I'm thinking, in order to be able to see that, are we able to see the thread, the commonality, to be able to identify how we see relationship? And it's like, it's almost like, what I'm getting to is, how do we see what we need to see in the context of ancestral blueprints when we're saying the people we're in relationship with, it has something to do with our ancestors, it has to do with our parents? How do we start to see that? Where could we find clues?
Yeah. Well, if we slow ourselves down and be present to the experience, there's no need to look for the clues. The information's always right there all the time. Yeah. So it's really about being present more than looking for clues. It's about, you know, if we allow ourselves to be present in ourself, and in that space allow a freedom from having to defend against truth. The reality is most of us inherit dynamics that are about defending, protecting from some kind of difficult truths. And those defenses keep us from being present. We keep them going out of love. We keep them going out of habit. We keep them going out of our humanness. And it requires a few ingredients. It requires certainly courage. It requires a willingness to let go of our beliefs that tell us we know certain things. You know, we get pretty attached to our beliefs. We get pretty attached to positions that help our minds tell us, oh, I understand what's going on here. I understand why he's doing this or she's doing that, or why I'm doing whatever. I understand what's not working. The reality is there is always a much richer landscape operating in the soul. When I say soul, I say it in the context of this ancestral blueprint soul, this family soul that is in us and that we are in, where the histories of what's happened in the generations before us is operating all the time. So it's a new thing for Western culture to recognize this, because for so many reasons. It's just it's a new thing for us to really remember this, you know, that richer landscape. But you know, our minds are not the only part of us. it's a real blow to the ego, you know.
Our
egos get pretty attached to thinking, I know what's going on, you know. So those are the things that come up for me when you ask. It's a great question, and it's really, those are just some of the few things that come to mind when you ask it.
You know, one thing, speaking of common theme or clues, the common theme for me with this show, when we do the show, is, and what you bring back to me, is the reminder that, for me, it's like, listen, there's nothing to fix. Just stop, pay attention, and watch and listen. And it's like, and I do get it, but sometimes there's a part of me that's like, what do you mean, just stand there, pay attention, watch and listen, and be still? I get it, but sometimes there's a part of me saying, but wait. But the truth is, in the listening and being still and being quiet and reflect, I know in my life when I do that, I open up to so much more. It's almost like something is thinking me, not me thinking. It's like I'm being thought. And I start to experience, I start to experience something. I start to catch insight, something that I've never thought about before. One of the example was, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, I was between half asleep, half awake. And while I was being thought, I just thought, if I was to go back, you know, 10 generations, my great, just keep going and then stop whenever I'm ready. If I can make contact with it and kind of imagine, you know, how did they live their life? What were they excited about? Were they passionate about life? Did they hate themselves? Did they love themselves? What desires do they have an understanding of what goals? How were they living? What were their parents like? You know, you just keep going and keep going. And I thought, you know, and all of that lives in me. So the idea when you talk about, you know, just really freeing ourselves to trying to defend the truth, to just being still and being able to just say, whose eyes am I looking with? And not trying to come up with an answer. That takes us to a deeper place, because ancestral blueprints, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but ancestral blueprints is invisible. It's not something that could be, well, not that I know of anyway, that could be printed out on a paper saying, this is what your ancestral blueprints looks like. It's invisible, and it lives in the soul. And to connect, listen, feel, be with the soul, I believe we must become still and allow the soul to actually speak to us, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And listening, being still is so powerful, but we take it for granted. As you said, the Western culture is like, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. I'm just going to throw it over to you. I don't have any questions. I'm just going to throw it back. Let's just have a conversation, and just we'll pretend you and I in a Starbucks or whatever coffee shop. And people just happen to be listening to us. But, you know, it's like listening and being still is taken for granted.
Yes.
It seems very passive. It feels like it's not, you know, it's like, okay, so I'm still now. Now what?
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hmm. Right. I'm throwing it to you. Each other. Go ahead. Whatever you're feeling and sharing. Oh, bubbling up for
Well, it's there's a lot of truth in what you're saying. And in that image for you that you described a day or two ago, then the next, you know, thing that comes for me is what would it be like for each of us? I mean, this is the field that I'm with all the time, you know, with my own life and then the people I work with, to bring forth a consciousness, bring forth a blessing, to invoke the support, to invoke the blessing of those, in this example, great, 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 great grandparents. Mm. So to have a little prayer, that's actually a very big prayer of asking them, you know?
Right.
Just, and the minute I start to say it, you can feel it, you know? Please, dear great, 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 great grandparents, please bless me in my love life. Please bless me when I open my heart to my partner, to my husband, to my wife. Please bless me when I look at them through my eyes. Please bless me when I open my heart to new love, if I'm single. You know, please let me lean against you when I look at the world through my eyes. These kinds of prayers, these kinds of blessings are the kind of necessary ones, the kind of sustainable ones, the kind of available ones that we are in the midst of reclaiming in this part of the world. Other parts of the world still have connection. You know, every place and time has its own rhythms. So for me, this is part of the rhythm of this time, is to reclaim that knowingness, to reclaim them, be reclaimed by them. And what a gift it is for our descendants, what it is, this tremendous gift for our future generations, to reestablish that connection between the generations before us and us. Because there clearly, at least in this part of the world, there's a lot of disconnection going on in people's love lives. There's a lot of, you know...
Yes.
Much easier in this part of the world, in the States, it's much easier to break up than it is to stay together.
Right.
And we got a lot of business. We got, you know, we got Match.com. We got all the email. I'm not dissing Match.com. No, it's like we've got all, just to be clear, we've got a lot of business energy toward orchestrating love lives. You know, the TV shows, the reality shows, The Bachelor, I mean, it's kind of phenomenal, really. What does that say? There's, I mean, something going on there.
Right.
But it's such a beautiful example from your time a day or two ago, this letting in your half sleep time, you know, go to that place, because it shows all of us this kind of an example.
Right. You know, you talk about the Match.com, what is it, Christian Mingles, eHarmony, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And, I mean, for me, I see all the social network as an expression of a deeper need to connect. We've created a society that where we felt disconnected, in the desire to feel connected with others, to have our own community, a tribe, and inspired ideas come through, like Facebook, the Match.com, eHarmony, to get back together. But somehow, on the other side of our mouth, we're talking about, it's all about you. You have to be an independent. You have to be an individual. But we keep, you know, on one level, we're doing everything the same, no matter how powerful our country is, no matter how rich we are, no matter how many cars we're driving, no matter what we have in the house, no matter how we're rich materially, we still have a simple desire to connect with the rest of the world. But somehow, it's like, it seems like we are not seeing the the social media as an expression. And there's nothing wrong with it because it's really great. I mean, even this network that we're doing the show on is a social network. Blog Talk Radio is a social network. And but how powerful would it be if some of us that connect on the social media space, we come together and meet and really get to know one another? Because part of the dangers, I don't want to use that word, but let me put it this way. Part of the opportunity to grow really is there is a tendency to only present what I want people to see. So if I'm on Facebook or if I'm on Twitter or on Instagram, you know, I might just give an image that I want people to see as opposed to the real human experience. So if I'm with a community of people that are just presenting an image that I want them to, they're presenting an image that they want me to see, when I'm going through my human experience, when I'm feeling like I'm in a funk, when I feel like my relationship is not working, when I feel like I can't seem to get it right, when I can't get the job, when I can't seem to master the money game, there's a tendency for people to feel like it's just them. Then they get depressed. Then, you know, they want to commit suicide because they look on Facebook and, oh, all these people are having fun. All these people on Twitter are having a good life. You know, people post pictures, and but I think if we don't really wake up or go deeper and recognize that there is something about the human experience that technology, and I'm just gonna go out and say this, like anybody's gonna come after me. I don't know why I'm even making that declaration. This way, here's how I see it. there's something about the human experience that technology will not be able to fill. Connect. It's a void that will always be there. So when you talk about inviting our ancestors, those who came before us, into our relationship, you know, relationship, marriage, if it's somebody we're dating, if it's, you know, just something, you know, like one lady said on the show yesterday, are you in a relationship? She said, no, I got somebody I'm talking to. So when you invite people into your relationship, you're just talking to them. Do you ever have a relationship where you don't talk to them? That's another thing. Okay, here we go. That's another thing. People in a relationship say, well, you know, there's somebody I'm talking to. I have a friend. So we have all these different ways of defining a relationship, and we kind of want to keep it loose because I think sometimes there's a fear of connection. But the wisdom or the healing that can happen when we invite our ancestors into the relationship can give us a deeper awareness, a different way, I can't even say the word, a different way of showing up in the world. Because I know that, especially in this spiritual community, sometimes we're chasing the light, and we're running from the darkness, we're running from our shadow self, we're running from things that we say we don't like about ourselves, but we're running to the divine, and we want to just ignore the human experience. And I think part of it is ancestral, too. It's like, I know, but who knows? Maybe some of my ancestors didn't think it was okay for them to feel sad or feel like they don't want to do whatever. I mean, because today, I've developed a spiritual muscle enough to say, okay, I'm not feeling okay about where I'm at right now, and I don't mind talking about it, even though I still feel uncomfortable. But there are those of us that don't even allow the space to feel what we're feeling in order to learn what needs to be learned from the relationship. What are your thoughts on that? Or any other thought that you want to share, so you're not boxed in.
It's like a fireworks, you know, so many different directions to go. There really are so many points of light in what you're saying and in the topic. And the how we show up, I'm glad you're speaking about the difference between, you know, image and kind of the public face that we put on versus, you know, that the realness, the fullness of the realness of our whole selves, because that feels absolutely in connection with what you began the conversation with before we launched officially into the topic.
Well, what was that? I don't remember.
This is where I was kind of just in my heart feeling this, you know, I wonder, just kind of watching it, watching the flow of what's the connection? What is the connection? There's a connection between your, in the beginning of the conversation, being honest about kind of having been in a funk.
Okay. Yeah.
And saying, you know, like, I'm not my best self. I don't know what's going on. It's not been such a fulfilling, easy time here right now. Don't know why. Just is what it is. Well, you know, so you're referencing right now with the topic that earlier part of the conversation. And for me, the importance of seeing that is not only the connectedness of everything with everything else, so that, you know, in our love lives, this idea that that it doesn't have anything to do with family or ancestors, how could it not? How could it not? The connections are always there, whether we see them, whether we know what they are, whether we can name it with language, whether we can understand it with our minds. The connections are always there. But what can happen when there is a slowing down, when there is compassion, you know, we haven't said that word yet today, but it's an essential ingredient just woven into all of our conversations, you know. For there to be compassion as a foundation for us and for the people we're in relationship with is transformative, you know. It makes the impossible possible. You know, so sometimes in a person's ancestry there was an experience of loss or grief or hardship where in the experience compassion was not accessible. There was something really difficult. And maybe it was heartbreak. Maybe it was heartbreak in a romance, in a marriage, in a relationship. And somebody's heart got broken, and compassion was not available. That could have happened with our parents, could have happened with our grandparents, our great-grandparents, great-great. But that kind of experience could completely be influencing our own love lives, where without realizing it, we are moving around in the world, navigating our love life, protecting our hearts out of a love, out of a loyalty for an ancestor whose heart was broken. We are trapped from being able to show up fully as ourselves with our good days and our bad days and everything in between without realizing that this is happening.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the directions based on what you just beautifully, you know, expressed, what came through you. It's a blessing for all of it to be seen and have an awareness that there's so much that we're not expressing, you know. There's a lot we're in contact with. Some we name it, some we don't. What we have permission to speak of just in this little bit of time together in this show, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. We can say it. It's all just right. Yeah.
You know, you talk about compassion. I just feel my body filling up. I feel full. I don't know if it's even, a little bit teary-eyed. It's like compassion has become something that's looked down at, generally speaking, you know, an expression of compassion, a show of compassion. Now, it's something that we don't always talk about. It's almost this whole thing about fixing. Because the idea of somebody going through something, having a challenge in their relationship, it's a broad globalization here. I'm generalizing. But it's always, there's a lot of books and information about looking for what needs to be fixed.
But yeah, right.
What you're saying, if let's say if I'm having a disagreement with my partner and, and I find myself being enraged or mad or upset by what she did, and if I can just have compassion in that moment, even for myself, for not even understanding, if we could just invite compassion to the space where we're clueless, it has the power to shift things. You know, we talked about the ancestors. I mean, I always tell people, growing up in Nigeria, I didn't necessarily hear "I love you," and my parents, mm-hmm. I don't remember them saying that. They didn't say it. Now, to somebody who lives in the Western world, would say, "Oh, really? That means you weren't loved." No, it's not. I wasn't loved. It was not part of our culture. I just knew I was loved. Now, in the Western world, it's like to say it is an expression. People say, "My parents never told me they loved me, and I don't know what love is." But in Nigeria, it was just you knew. Now, it doesn't mean I didn't have my own experience, and I've personally learned the power of hearing somebody tell you they love you. So when I think of where I was earlier before the show, when you and I were talking, and even at the beginning of the show, a little bit, there was a part of me that I could tell the truth about, that I wasn't completely compassionate about it. I'm allowing it. But as you were talking, I'm thinking, if I just allow myself to be compassionate about what I feel right now, it's a different way of looking at myself and what I'm going through. And that allows the healing. That allows for whatever needs to be fixed. And it gets, it's not so much a fix anymore. It's like nothing needs to be fixed. Nothing needs to be healed. Only God to reveal. Only love to reveal. And that's what compassion is. Compassion is the healing medicine. And but usually we think of compassion as something that the Dalai Lama does, Mother Teresa, and it's not for the rest of us. We need to get there and work out this spiritual stuff and figure it out. We're going to be compassionate with ourselves and with our listeners and take a compassionate break while we have a commercial. And then we have a great question here. And I hear this question a lot, and we'll answer when we come back. So, Lisa, I'm going to read the question now. The question is, what if the ancestors were dysfunctional? What if you no longer want to see with their eyes? That part I can answer. You can't help but see with their eyes. But yeah. I didn't mean to answer it right now. We'll go deep into it. Well, I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, let's take a break. We're going to come back. You're listening to Ancestral Blueprints. The title right now, the theme is marriage, relationship, and love. The description, what we're having you look at and sit with and be with is, here it is, marriage, partnership, love lives are deeply affected by our ancestors. How we see and are seen by our partners has everything to do with the love lives and family experience in our ancestral blueprint. So, what are you moving through? What are you going through? What is happening that you don't like, that you wish is different? Maybe, just maybe, he has something to do with those who came before you. Oh, yeah, it does. And don't answer it yet. I'm tempted. Okay, stop it.
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
That's all you get to do. Just sit with it and see if he's working for you.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Mark Hussin, founder of 12radio.com, and I'm here to support Life Coach Ade. I like what Life Coach Ade does. I like the Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan, and I like the message that's given out. If you like the message and you have a product that you'd like to also announce that would reach like-minded people, consider sponsoring the show. The pricing is great, and details will be given after this message. Keep spreading the love, guys. Thank you so much.
To request a sponsorship package, send an email to radio@lifeconversationsradio.com. That's radio@lifeconversationsradio.com.
What would happen if you didn't follow the established path? Would you feel scared or proud? Could you explain that helping the people of Peru improve their own community would also have an effect on your own? Would you rather make your own way or spend a lifetime saying, what if? Life is calling. How far will you go? Peace Corps. To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or go to peacecorps.gov.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I said it, the new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word, but really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Hi, I'm Mark Hussin. When I created 12listen.com, I envisioned a service that could offer immediate relief from the dilemmas of daily life on demand. I knew that many of you have been hurt by similar services on the internet because I've been in this industry for over 25 years, and I know that when you're hurt, the promise of a fix sounds irresistible, regardless of who's offering. The advisors at 12listen.com are extraordinary, not because they've endured weeks of observation and testing, but because they promise to make their work here their number one priority. That means you will be speaking to someone who's here for you. We're not a perfect service, but we believe becoming a perfect service starts with having the courage to strive for perfection. I am Mark Hussin, and 12listen.com and the 12 family are my purpose. Give us a try. And if you've tried us before, try again, because I'm convinced that life is better when you don't feel alone. Thank you.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Be the change you want to see. Be compassionate. Be the one. If you say, what? Why, Carl, you can't be compassionate? Why can't you be caring? Why can't you just listen? Be the change you want to see. You are listening to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and yours truly, Life Coach Ade. Lisa Iverson is the author of Ancestral Blueprints, Revealing Invisible Truth in America's Soul. All that is hidden. She's bringing it to the front. And just be with it. Don't fix it. Nothing to fix. Nothing to do. Just bring it. Let's see it. Let's be with it. And to find out more about Lisa's work, her website address is lisaiverson.com. That's L-I-S-A-I-V-E-R-S-E-N.com. LisaIverson.com. Welcome back, Lisa, even though you never went anywhere. But, you know, that's radio speak.
Wherever you go,
I'm trying to sound professional here. Welcome back to Ancestral Blueprints with Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Ade. We're taking your calls. Well, we've got a caller. But do you want to jump into this question, the emailed question from Marianne? Actually, it's from Marianne in the chat room. She said, what if the ancestors were dysfunctional? What if you no longer want to see with their eyes?
Yeah. It's a great question. So, a couple of things I would say today about that. First, it's good people know that my background, part of my background in life and in work is as a psychotherapist. So I've been a psychotherapist for over 20 years. And I see how much that word dysfunctional has had a really big influence in our images of family life. So what I want to say is that with respect for the way that word and all that goes with it, for the ways that it has contributed to our understanding of ourselves and family life and health and healing, what I want to say is that for this conversation, we consider leaving that word and all that goes with it with the psychology and psychotherapy field, so that for a moment we can feel the health and the wellness in our ancestries. Because the reality is, in terms of the flow of life, if you're in this conversation listening, your family was perfectly functional because life got through. So I'm not naive about what the caller or the writer is in touch with, and I have respect for the pain that's in contact with that word. But the reality is that our culture is letting all that we know about psychological health block us from receiving life fully. So there's a lot that's in contact with this topic. So the idea that I'm suggesting is just for a little bit of time to experiment with the image, with the idea, with the prayer, that with everything that happened in family life, everything that didn't happen in family life, our ancestors were just the right ones to pass life on to us. And we are just the right ones to receive it from them. So what I notice in my own life and in my work with people, that when they can allow that kind of an image, that kind of an energy, that kind of a prayer to be with them for a little bit of time, could be a half a minute, could be a minute. Sometimes it's for an hour. Sometimes it's, you know, they work with me or they work with somebody like me in some other field, that image, that connectedness can grow in them. Then it puts things in a bigger perspective that allows us to really feel more supported and grounded and free in our own lives. So that's my answer to the first part. The dysfunctional piece. And the second part, I'm looking online as well, but I'm going to ask you to read.
If you no longer want to see with their eyes.
Yeah. Then the movement, the invitation in the soul is to have a very simple kind of a prayer with them that says, thank you for passing life on and I leave your eyes with you. Hmm. But see, we got to do that first part that I just talked about to do the second part. If
right.
we see our
right.
ancestors as functional, we can't do this second part.
Mm.
Otherwise, what we're doing is...
Let's slow that down. That makes a lot of sense. Could you just explain what you mean there? I get it, but just break that down a little bit more.
Yeah, you bet. Our culture, the profession I've been a part of, really unintentionally, unconsciously, lots of reasons, one of the consequences of all that we know about psychological health, there's a lot of judgment infused with the principles we have about psychological health. There's a lot of judgment of family. And so I just see the effect of that judgment, that it has a very big effect on us individually and collectively. And so what I'm saying is that if we can restore a sense of really it's acknowledging relationship. It's acknowledging that without our ancestors, it's just like it's too simple. It's too simple. Without our ancestors passing life on to us, we wouldn't be here. It's just really very simple.
Right.
It's not very complicated. So it's not very satisfying for the mind, because the mind likes a good problem to chew on and the mind likes to analyze. And so we are learning as a collective how to discipline our minds. Mm-hmm. In a way that they can be used for constructive problem solving. But this is not, a family is not a problem that needs solving. Life is not a problem that needs solving. So what I'm saying is that really, really allowing this movement of accepting life being passed on to us from the ones who passed it on. If we don't do that, we're in a rejection of life position.
Mm-hmm.
And that also makes it really difficult in our love lives.
Mm.
Then we can't.
That's your whole show right there.
It's all right. If we're rejecting the life force that was passed on to us, then when we look at our partners, we'll be in a rejection dance with them. We'll want to reject them. We'll feel rejected by them. We'll be looking to them for things that they can't give us.
Mm.
That's kind of a thing. So
it's like what I hear there is this, if there's judgment of those who pass life on to you, and from that place you can say, I don't want to see through their eyes. How can I change that? Then the fact that there's a judgment keeps you bound to them anyway. Love is really about freedom. If we can honor and be grateful for the life that passed through us, that because of them, dysfunctional or not, we are here. Thank you for passing life on to me. I release you. Now I'm choosing what I'm choosing. So that puts us in a better place to stand in a place of power when we release them with love rather than from a place of judgment, right?
Yeah, the judgment protects. The judgment is there to protect from pain.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. I say judgment is a painkiller. Yes, indeed. People judge when they're in pain.
So it's part of what we're learning as a human family is what helps us with our pain. What will truly help us with our pain? First of all, we've got to recognize that it's there.
Yes.
There's sometimes so much judgment, it's providing such strong anesthesia medicine. We don't realize the pain that's underneath it. But really, it is. It's like it's a kind of an anesthesia.
Hmm. Gosh, I could make so many statements. I can make, you know, countries, the people of the country become very judgmental of other countries. But we won't go there right now because we don't have time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
And I feel tuned in to the woman who was brave enough to ask this question online. And I want to take a minute, if it's okay. I see she had a second question.
Yes, what I wanted to go to. Yeah, it's a powerful.
Do you mind reading that?
Okay, so the second question is, Mariana said, what if one's partner had a good example of marriage and the other partner had a very dysfunctional example? Does one example overcome the other? So the one that had a good example, does it overcome? That's what I would conclude you're saying. Or maybe the other way around. How do these two people find balance? So one had a good example of marriage and the other one had a dysfunctional example of marriage. How do these two people find balance? That's a very good question. Very good question.
It's a great question. I would, and it's pretty common, so I would, first of all, invite that kind of a slowing down space to notice in oneself what's the inner talk about that? Like, what's the inner dialogue that's going about that? Because it could go in a lot of different directions. So the first thing I would invite is an awareness with compassion, and that might be like a really big thing. How to have compassion for the inner talk that goes with that noticing. And then I would invite allowing whatever that inner talk is to let it lead the person to, again, whose eyes look at it that way.
Mm.
Like, it's kind of, there's a lot to it. There's a lot to it. But even the evaluation of good and bad marriage, you know, like, there's a lot in that.
Yes. Yeah.
There, because shadow is everywhere. You know, you got the sun, you got the moon, you got the day, you got the light. So in the good marriage, there are qualities of a bad marriage. And in the bad marriage, there are qualities of a good marriage.
Yes, yes. Where there's light, you find the shadow.
You bet, bet. And so it can be easy in that kind of a situation for there to be this kind of ongoing comparing. Like the two people who come from families where there was a really sharp contrast. In this way, there can be this kind of comparing. The comparing it's important to discipline the amount of comparing that happens.
I like the way you put that. I would have put it differently.
Awareness of what was different and what's the same is really valuable and important. But then being disciplined about not getting into that means you have it all together and I'm all screwed up, or I'm all together and you're all screwed up. That is not it's not constructive, and if that's happening, you know, the people aren't free. It's a sign that they're not free to be looking through their own eyes. So you can tell I'm a pretty big fan of this compassion thread. Mm-hmm. Having compassion for the bad marriage, having compassion for the good marriage, in a way, like, it's all the same. When compassion is there, the evaluation goes away. Yeah. The last thing I'll say about it is that there's a place for practical tools. Mm-hmm. There's a place, like just practical relational tools. It's one of the great things about this time we're living in. You know, we do have some great, great practical tools of lots of different kinds. So, you know, sometimes just the freedom to, like if you can have that, if you come from a family where marriage was difficult, having that inner prayerful place of, you know, thank you, I'll leave it with you, you know, please bless me when I do it differently, that is what frees up the energy to use the tools that are available. Sometimes the missing piece to use the tools has to do with a family loyalty to keep the same pattern going.
Yeah.
So there can be a thing going, well, I'm just going to keep, I'm going to have a bad marriage too, because then I'll maintain my feeling of connection with my family, even if it's painful.
There's a lot there. It's very simple. And to we've got a caller. But to find out more about Lisa's work, you can go to Family Constellations West. Family Constellations with an S, West.com. Something about slowing down or being compassionate seems so simple. It's like, come on. Because when we slow down and compassionate, then we can see what was to be seen. Let's take a call. Let's go to Gwen. Hello, Gwen. How are you doing?
Hi, Addie. Well, how are you?
Very well. We got a few minutes to go, so let's see if we can jump in and deal with your question.
Well, my question was in regards to actually attracting and opening up to work. And I don't know if this has anything to do with ancestral blueprint. It might.
So you're saying attracting it, and you there's a challenge in finding work, or you don't like where you're working?
There's a challenge, and this has never happened with me before. I've always been able to bring forth whatever it is that I wanted to create and manifest, but it's been a struggle to manifest what it is that I am wanting. And I'm not sure if I'm just not, you know, I know that some things have shifted, and I'm still trying to create what I had in the past. And I believe that the universe is telling me, that's over. Again, it's like holding on to the past and not letting go of that which is not in your best and highest good.
So with everything that you just said, if you were to put that in the form of a question, what would your question be?
How do I attract more positive outcomes for me in every area of my life, whether it's love or work or friends, and same thing with friendships.
Well, but right now work is on your mind, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, how do you attract? I mean, do you know what field you want to work in?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you know what field you want to work in, what career? I mean, do you have an idea of what you want to do?
I have no idea even as to the field.
Okay, do you want to work?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you want to work because you want to work, or you want to work because you want to make money?
I want to work because I enjoy it.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, time is short, and I'm going to just let Lisa respond. But it's just like, why don't you go in the direction of the things that you enjoy?
That's true.
And you know, I'm going to pass over to Lisa in a few seconds. but wasn't there a conversation that we've had on the show about you doing something around being a counselor or something like that?
Yes. Yes.
Is that something that you're looking to do? Is that something that you that if you think about doing a job
actually,
like that, excites
no,
you?
No.
Okay.
It's not counseling. I really thought about that, and it's like I really don't. You know, it's like no.
So, I'm trying to get a hold. You're saying, okay, how do I attract the right job, positive experience, and then you went from job as well as friends and all of life, but So the real question, I'm trying to get a better understanding here, but there was a thought that came to me, but it's gone. Let me give it to Lisa, if Lisa want to add something,
okay.
Because we don't have a lot of time. Lisa, anything
okay,
you want to ask, share?
Yeah, just in the little time we have, I trust the rightness of you calling in, and I'm just noticing, want to honor the connection between love and work. And the idea comes to me that there's no replacement for permission to grieve. So whatever it was that you in your relation in your work life that is ending or has ended, that's not right for you anymore. You know, I would encourage you to find what you need to support you in your grief about those endings.
Wow.
And
you hit it right on, because around the same time that I ended a job, my sister passed away.
Oh my, yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Permission to grieve, that's so true.
Yeah, and it's such a human thing in our culture to it requires what you're doing, which is to, you know, reach out to others to make the grief visible.
That's true. Amen.
Yeah, the grief has a place.
That's true, because after the job ended, I really didn't say anything to anybody. And then it's like I came home to an empty house where no one was here. And I was in this place. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So you're not alone. You're not alone in that place of grief. I get it that when you came back to the house, you were alone. In this moment, in this conversation, you know, you're with two other people on the planet connected with you in that place. And my prayer for you would be that that knowingness continues on past this show, that you continue to seek out and receive connection with others for your grief.
Yes.
It's a thing for all of us that you show that to us. Thank you.
That resonated very, very deeply. Very deeply. I just never knew that, you know, it's like you kind of, you covered, it's like I believe that I may have been covering things up and not really letting people know that I'm grieving the loss of my sister and the loss of employment. And I just never knew the two and two went hand in hand.
Yeah.
That was a grief.
If you need some help with some resources, Gwen, you can send me an email, ade@lifeconversationsradio.com. ade@lifeconversationsradio.com. All right?
Thank you, Addie. Thank you so much. And truly thank you for your guest. I mean, it brought some light on that shadow. Thank you. Thank you. God bless. God bless.
You too.
All right, we're taking it down to the wire. Lisa, thank you for who you are, your spirit, your intuition, just who you are, everything about you, and be able to zero in on that, like that. And anything else you want to share, add before we release the show?
Well, lots of gratitude. Thank you to you, Ade, and thank you to everybody who's been with us and everybody who hasn't been with us. And just the connectedness, again, is always there, whether, you know, the ones who are here or the ones who will be here for future listening. And my prayer is that our conversation has a good effect on all our relations, especially for the children in the future generations of all of us. So all blessings to you, to all of us, till next time. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. I love and appreciate you. Thank you so much. What a way to end the show. Powerful. Yes. Making room, making space, honoring what we feel, what we're moving through and growing through. Making room for grief. Making room for what we feel. I love you. I bless you. I appreciate you. And I thank God for you. It's time to release the show. Ricky Byers Beckwith. Trust love. Ricky's website is weletitbe.com. Weletitbe.com. And I'll be back on Monday for the Ask Life Coach Addy radio show. And don't forget to catch the Ask Life Coach Addy radio show on Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. And on Basser tomorrow, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Celeste on Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Trust, love, be still, and be compassionate. We're out.
Trust, love. Trust, love. Trust God. That love is everywhere. That we are. Keep on.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage, make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.